You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
It is another Otepoti favourite who is coming over back home for a show on the 19th, Friday the 19th. They're going to be playing at the Regent Theatre. Why, it's none other than Nadia Reid. Good morning to you, Nadia. How are we?
Good morning. I'm here already on the other side of the world. So I've landed and I'm upright.
Nice. And up in Christchurch, Auckland, Wellington?
Landed. We flew directly into Christchurch. It was very sort of modern, yeah.
A modern landing?
Well, I always imagine you have to fly into Auckland, but apparently now you can just fly straight into Christchurch.
Ah, true.
But no, it's good. It's good to be back.
That's a good thing to imagine when you're on a plane, because when I'm on a plane, I imagine that we're going to crash. Now, you were recently
I've had my fair share of that sort of thinking.
Yeah, plane anxiety. I get mad plane anxiety.
Do you?
Yeah, it's not fun. It sucks. But you were recently in Vienna, you're a bit of a jet setter yourself, performing at the Blur Bird Festival. What's the vibe over in Austria right now? Is it relatively chill? Is it a bit intense?
I had the most beautiful sort of 24 hours there. I didn't have any expectations, and the festival I was playing at, the venue was this kind of iconic jazz bar called the Porgy and Bess. And the people were just so warm and friendly, and it seemed to be kind of happy, and the place was clean, and it was very cold and Christmassy, and I took a stroll on a horse carriage around the city. So I had just like the most blissed out times. And the cool thing about it was the festival was just, it was so well supported. It's been going for 25 years, and the programming was really eclectic. And so I was just, I had a blast, yeah. It was a 2-hour flight from Manchester, and it was sort of a nice release to be out of the UK just for a little bit.
Oh, that sounds like an absolutely lovely time. I've heard nothing but great things about Austria. And the architecture is just stunning there, isn't it? It's gorgeous.
Well, I really tried to soak it in, yeah, this time.
Yeah, because I read in your Substack that you once joked that you don't like architecture, you don't care about architecture or something.
Okay, so...
Please explain
yourself. I've played in Vienna before, and for some reason I could not recall anything about it. And I figured out that we had lost our tour manager that day. We got pulled over by cops and our van was searched. And he had like copious amounts of marijuana. So he got urine tested and arrested on the side of the road. And so my bandmate and I were left there and had to drive to Vienna. So I think just the sort of the shock and the stress of that made me forget everything about the show. But yes, I did once say something to that effect, and still to this day, Sam, my bandmate, will bring that up. And I do regret what I said. It's just, I mean, anyone that's toured, like been on long tours, knows how sort of right, you know, like sometimes you don't get to appreciate the places you are because you're tired or whatever. Yeah. And there are definitely, if I look back to those years of all the cool places, Scandinavia, Norway, Spain, and I never was able to fully appreciate them just because of timing. And I also think like COVID really taught me just about not taking things for granted, and so now I try to just really soak everything in. And even with these New Zealand shows, like I've toured New Zealand countless times, but this tour just feels really like a huge privilege, and I'm just going to try and have you know, appreciate every moment, even if that sounds kind of cheesy, but...
Nah, savouring the flavour, you know, taking the long way. That's a, it's a good vibe. It's a real good vibe. In the Substack article I mentioned before, you also talk about your love for the new Lily Allen record, West End Girl, and that she needs to forgive her ex-husband, David Harbour, at some point, you know, for his infidelity, amongst other things, because you say, while it's okay to be angry for a bit, it even feels good in the short term, it's not a sustainable thing long term. How have you learnt to sort of forgive people that you who have wronged you or who have wronged people in your circle?
It's, I mean, well, firstly, like, that album is just, has blown my mind. It is so good. And anyone that says it's not good is so wrong. my sister, she's, because I've just been obsessed with it. I said, what do you think? And she's like, well, yeah, I mean, she's not really a musician, is she? She's more of a sort of spoken word poet. I was just like, but so what was I trying to say there? I mean, I guess I think a lot about I've been living in Manchester for 2 years and away from family and friends and a lot of people that know me. You know, I spend a lot of time with people that, other than my managers, that I don't know very well. And so I've been doing a lot of sort of steep soul searching, really. And I suppose I've also, I mean, I'm constantly interested in understanding the humans. You know, it's fascinating to me. It's kind of, it plays into how I write and, yeah, I mean, I'm certainly fascinated with it. But I suppose, yeah, I mean, I just think you do, if you hold on to that sort of vitriol for too long, it sort of, it'll get you.
It poisons you, for sure. And I think, a big part of forgiveness is realizing that we're all capable of doing stupid or shitty things, and that we all at some point have done that, and that there's a sort of, you know, universal understanding of suffering in that.
Well, we're so imperfect, aren't we? And constantly crashing up long into each other, and so, you know, it's a difficult listen, the record, her album. It's very, she's angry. I suppose I recognize myself, you know, my second album was a very, you know, I had a lot of unresolved
emotions,
anger, I suppose, as we all do.
Well, for this new tour, you're touring your latest record, Into Now Brightness, an album of great reflection on the past 5 years since your last record before that, Out of My Province, came out in 2025. In the time between these two records, COVID hit, you became a mother. It's a time of great uncertainty and anticipation. When you were reflecting on this time writing the album, what sort of emotions were coming up to the surface?
It was a strange time, really, because I had the luxury of taking my time, which I say luxury, it was kind of quite a painful way to make an album, because it's making a record is so uncomfortable. When you start out, you think, oh, how the hell are we going to do this? You know, it feels very... it feels like a huge task, and it is. And so I was able to kind of take it off bit by bit. And Tom Healy, who I worked with, was very much, very sort of generous with the amount of time we got together. And so we did a session at Port Chalmers and many sessions in Auckland and looked around house. Was it round house? Roundhead. But I'd sort of, I was pregnant twice. I'd was reflecting on what the COVID years did to me, which at the time felt like I was sort of stuck in jelly, but actually it was quite an important transformative time. And yeah, I mean, I just kind of did what I've done 4 times. I sort of had the songs and got the band and a producer I trusted, and we kind of just let the thing happen in the studio, which is my favourite way to do it.
Let the good vibes play out.
Pretty much. You know, I don't like to overthink things or be, you know, meddle in the
Just let it kind of come out organically. I think that's a good way to go about things.
You
mentioned before about being feeling stuck in jelly because, I guess, you know, during COVID, giving birth, you were concerned about not having things in the calendar. You'd felt like maybe you'd lost some momentum. You had new responsibilities, and it's hard to tour a new record during a pandemic in Aotearoa, which had one of the strictest lockdowns of the world. It's a fair thing to be worried about, but when did you realise that you were actually going to be okay, I guess, career-wise, that, you know, you weren't, your career wasn't really on the back foot?
Well, the only time I really like bawled my eyes out was in March 2020 when I was about to fly out to Austin, Texas, and it was very clear that everything was just closing and falling apart. I rerouted my flight from Auckland to Dunedin, and I landed in Dunedin and the smell of the cows.
Oh my god, yeah.
Home sweet home. And we were married. My husband picked me up, and I just didn't talk, and I just cried the whole way home because it was just like, okay, this sucks. But then, you know, I just kind of got on with it as we all, I mean, you know, there were bigger things to think about. But, also, Holly Fulbrook and I from Tiny Ruins, like, we did a tour, like, mid-lockdown, and we had this captive audience because the borders were closed, and so we sold out the Opera House, and we played the Regent Theatre, which was basically sold out, and so we had stuff to do, and that was a real thrill.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it was sort of like... it was a captive audience. People had nowhere to...
You're coming back sorry.
Well, I think, you know, in those years, like, live music was really special for people and for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure, man. It was, and the, like, artists, you know, doing gigs in their bedrooms or playing gigs through video games, you know. So many different creative ways that people were sort of getting around the lockdowns, deliver music to people because people need it. I guess I just have the one last question. You're playing Christchurch and the Regent Theatre with Broken Heartbreakers, who you've known for a little while. Funnily enough, you supported them in 2016 for their album release show. Now they're returning the favour. What do you love about their music?
Well, I love, like, Rachel's voice is just, I mean, she's tapped into the place that is sort of mystical and unknowable. And it just like speaks of Dunedin, even though they haven't lived in Dunedin. I mean, you know, they've lived all over the world. But to me, it just feels like the ultimate Dunedin sound, and they are the real deal. Like they're so legitimately good. I'm sort of tripping over my words. And also, they're our really good friends, and I just I'm so lucky to form these relationships with people where we're friends, and I also sort of like learn a lot, you know, like we become each other's sort of teachers in a way. And so with this tour, I was definitely quite specific about who I wanted to play with, and So they have a new record, and it's really, really good. Mm. So more shall be revealed.
Cool. My brother, funnily enough, is actually playing bass for them on the tour. So
what's his name?
Liam Hoffman.
He put up some posters for me, a lovely fella.
He did, he's a lovely fella. I think that's all the time we have for you on the program. Unfortunately, I did not get to my question about hypnobirthing, but I will leave it to, I'll leave it with you. And thank you so much for coming on the program. All the best with the tour, and take care, Nadia.
Bye.
Take care, man. Thank you very much. All right, folks, that was Nadia Reid. We're talking to Nadia about her Enter Now Brightness Tour, which is coming to Otepoti. They're going to be coming to the Regent Theatre Friday the 9th at 8 p.m. You can find tickets at theregenttheatre.co.nz. We're going to play Baby Bright by Nadia Reid from her new album, Enter Now Brightness, which you can find wherever you find your music. We'll have the Rad Times gig guide at 8:45. I'll see you there.
Something tells me that you're gonna be alright.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.